This is Harriet Kinnock, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk with you about some believe and some do not. Why is it that some people believe God and some do not? Why do some people believe the gospel and some choose not to believe the gospel? Well, we're going to explore that in the story of Paul the Apostle in one of his first journeys. He was on the island of Malta when something happened to him. And we're going to read it as if it were, as if we were there while it happened. Notice how the Bible is written. When you read the Bible, you are reading it as if someone were there. It's like you're reading someone's story. And it's like you can see what was happening. Well, that's what we're going to discover. So why is it that some believe and some do not? The Bible says that the gospel came first. The story of God, the story of Jesus, the story of salvation came first to the Jew who rejected it, who did not accept it because they did not believe. But next, the Gentiles heard it and accepted it. So why is it that some of us who are alive today refuse and do not accept the story of God? Well, we're going to find that out in the story of Paul the Apostle. Amen. So I'll take you into Acts chapter 28, and we will discover why that is. So if you have the time, you can read the entire chapter, and you will see why is it that some believe and some do not. But first, if this is your first time watching Down to Earth, my name is Harriet Kinnock. I am the host, and I'm also an author and a minister. You can find more information about me at harrietkinnock.tv, as well as at theexodusfoundation.com, where I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundation, an organization that we started and created to provide relief services to women and girls throughout our community. So for more information, go to theexodusfoundation.com to get more information about who we are. Thank you so much for viewing and watching our broadcast. If this is your first time, we're available on most major streaming platforms. Amen. Amen. So why is it that some believe and some do not? So I want to take you into the scriptures, into Acts chapter 28, and I'm going to read to you just a few verses, verses 26 to 28 from the New King James Version of the Bible, so that you can see for yourself why is it that some believe and some do not. So Acts chapter 28, if you have your Bible app on your phone, join with me. I'm sure you will find it quite interesting, right? Acts chapter 28, verses 26 to 28. Now look what it says here. It says, therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. They were reasoning and conferring among themselves. The backstory of this is that Paul, by this time, was being arrested for his proclamation. Now, Paul, as you know, Paul was Saul and had the Damascus Road experience where he was converted. Jesus appeared to him and he was converted and now believed. What was Paul doing prior to? Paul was what? Persecuting Christians. He was persecuting Jews who had been converted to Christianity. So as now that he had become a Christian based on his Damascus Road experience, he was trying to reason with his fellow countrymen about what had happened and about the salvation of Christ. So they, according to their traditions at the time, if you claim to believe in Jesus, then you were condemned because Jesus was a heretic. That was how it was presented. And so Paul was being arrested for now believing in Christ. So he was reasoning with his brethren. Amen. So now if you read in verse 27, in verse 26, let's start at verse 26. And it says right here, it says that hearing you will hear. This is what he's saying, go to this people and say, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not hear. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had a great dispute among themselves. Then Paul, who dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I decrease so that you might increase. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. I pray right now for someone who is watching that God will hover over his people this week. Oh, hover over the people in Gaza, the people in Yemen, the people in the Sudan, the people in Ethiopia, the people right here in our families, in our homes, right here in America. Hover over the people this week. Bring hope to your people, oh God. Bring deliverance to those who need deliverance. We praise your name, Jesus, and we thank you that you will answer prayers this week. Make provision for someone who doesn't know how their medications will be paid for, someone who doesn't know how that surgery will be taken care of, someone who doesn't know how food will be put on the table this week. Lord God Almighty, provide jobs for your people. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Houston who have been impacted by catastrophic weather unlike those we have seen. Father God, be a resource to your people. Open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon your people. We ask you right now, Jesus, that you come down, hover over the people, bring deliverance, bring a supernatural, expeditious overnight deliverance. And we thank you in advance for healing the sick, healing the afflicted, canceling surgeries, healing our bodies. We thank you in advance for removing loneliness. We thank you in advance, oh God, for healing our minds from mental illness, healing our minds, Jesus, from depression. We thank you, oh God, for restoring hope. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So why is it that some believe and some do not? So in this story, I, as much as Paul has written this, I am going to insert myself in the story, because maybe you won't believe Paul. Maybe you'll believe me because you can see me. I'm real. I'm human. You can touch me, right? I'm alive today. Okay. So I'm going to tell you about my story. So I grew up a Baptist. I was born into a Baptist family. My folks had a Baptist church, right? Then I went to a Catholic high school for 5 years. In the country where I grew up, we went to high school for 5 years. Every day we had Mass, and Mass was celebrated. It was a celebrant. You know how it is. So I learned to say in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit. To this day, I still make the sign of the cross when I'm going to say something. Okay. Then I married someone who was, my ex-husband was an Episcopalian. In the colonies, he's referred to as Anglican. So you could say that I had a smorgasbord of religious belief. Yeah? Okay, but the fundamentals of it was that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay. Then I, too, had a Damascus Road experience in Orlando, Florida, where I was on my way to family in Detroit and stopped in Orlando. Someone took me to a church, and I got converted. I got saved. I believed all this preaching and all this teaching that I had learned as a child. See, when I was growing up, I went to Catholic high school, so they preached from the New Testament. I had questions, and my religious teachers could not answer those questions. So I was like, what is this? I grew up, however, in the church, under the teaching of God. I went to church. It was required action back then as a child that you had to go to Sunday school every Sunday. So between the time that I graduated high school and I was no longer in a Catholic church and my Damascus Road experience where I got converted was a significant period of time, was more than a decade. What happened in between that decade? I chose not to believe. Why did I choose not to believe, knowing already that there was some fundamentals? Because that's how we humans are. Look at what the story says. Here is Paul. Look at the things that happened to Paul. I made a note of them here for you to see. In the chapter, in the first part of Acts chapter 28, look at what it said. Paul healed Publius. Publius was the governor of the island of Malta at the time when Paul was in prison. Paul was on his way to Rome. He was in the custody of Roman soldiers. Why was he in custody of Roman soldiers? Paul had his Damascus Road experience. Paul was persecuting in his prior job. He was a Pharisee, believe it or not. His job was to arrest those people who had believed in Christ and who were converted. So that was his job. But on his way to Damascus, to what? To arrest more Jews who had converted to Christianity, Jesus appeared unto him and said, "Hey, Paul, it's me. Why are you persecuting me?" So Paul was blinded for a period of time until his sight returned. When his sight returned, he became converted. And so once he became converted, he started preaching, much like you and I. Once I got converted, it's as if a veil was torn off my eyes. I could see clearly now into history. I could see clearly now into the spirit realm. I could see clearly that God is real. Once that happened, I got converted, and here I sit today as a minister of the gospel. I could do anything else I wanted to do, but that conversion, when that happens to you, once you see it, you can't unsee it. Once you have seen it, then you pursue it, and then it takes you over. But that's what happened to Paul. So Paul is on the island of Malta, and Publius, the governor, had a problem, and Paul healed him. The people still did not believe. Paul, they saw Paul's conversion. They knew who he was. He was Saul. When he was persecuting the Jews who had been converted to Christianity, and the people, what? They still did not believe. They saw the snake bite. While Paul was on the Isle of Malta, while he was sitting there, a viper rose up and bit him. And the people were gathered around because Paul was preaching to them. And they saw the viper on his hand, and he simply shook it off, and the viper fell into the fire. And what happened? Nothing happened to Paul, because the people know that if you got bitten by that kind of snake, guess what happens? You die. You roll over and you develop the flu. Publius had the flu that came with the blood flow. He was throwing up blood at the same time. Typically, when that happens, people don't survive. Paul healed him. Then Paul had the Damascus Road experience. So everybody knew who he was, because he was on his way to Rome in the custody of Roman soldiers for his belief. They still didn't believe. They saw the snake bite, and they still didn't believe. This is why you can't put stock in people's opinion. You have got to know the gospel for yourself. Once you read it for yourself and you obtain an understanding, then you know. People like me can preach all day. We can tell you what it is, but if you do not believe it yourself, then it's not going to have the impact. The thing about the gospel is that it's personal. It is why it is most effective. It's just like when you read history, yeah? You read history. Let's say you're studying the United States Constitution. So you start reading about the Constitution. At some point in reading about it, you become converted. You begin to realize that, wait a minute, people actually believed in this idea of freedom of the individual. They actually believe that if you own your property, then that is your property, and the government should not come into your property. Then you start to see it from the perspective of the founding framers. You begin to see that these men sat down and were convicted by what they believe. They believe that you should have the freedom to worship whom you want to worship. You should be free to pursue religion. So if you didn't feel like getting up and giving obeisance to a king, then as a free man, then you should. After a while, slowly but surely, you become converted. You begin to see that there are some truths to what they said. And if they believed so much that they were willing to lay their lives down against a king who was despotic and had the power to make them disappear, but they believed anyway, and they said, if it is going to cost death, we're going to stand for what we believe. That's how Paul felt. Paul had that Damascus Road experience. He was on his way to persecuting more Jews who had seen Jesus' life, heard about Jesus' teaching, because by this time, Jesus had already ascended into heaven. So they heard about this man from Galilee who walked and preached and told the people who were living under Roman oppression at the time. He told them that you don't have to believe that because that's not your salvation. Salvation comes from God. Believe and hope in God. I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And the people heard and they were converted. And Paul and the Pharisees, the establishment at the time, said, no, we can't have that because that goes against our teaching. We can't have some relic, some heretic guy, some guy from down in the hood come and start telling the people they can be free when the prevailing establishment wants you to be under oppression. They want you to believe that the only way out is what they tell you is the only way out. We look at our world today. And as we look around our world today, it should begin to start realizing in our minds that the United States is unique, isn't it? The idea of freedom of the individual is unique. I want you to take your eyes off for just a minute. Just close your eyes for a minute. I want you to look at the country we live in. I want you to think about the United States. And you start saying, why is it that everybody wants to be here? Why is it that people are crowding our borders, pushing and going swimming across a river of snakes? You think it's just about economics? No. It's about what? Freedom of the individual. If people believe so much that the United States will set them free and they are willing to lay their lives down to come and get here, why do some of us not believe? Why can't you believe in the fact that there are three branches of government, that there is separation of powers? No matter what anybody says, no matter how they're going to try and do anything, they can't upset that. Believe. Why don't we believe that God is real? We look in creation. Did any of all the people, of all the powers that exist on the earth, of all the humans that trot about and walk as if they own the earth, have you not realized that eventually everybody gets laid down in a pine box? The Queen of England reigned for almost 70 years, y'all. Where is she now? Laid out under the ground, still can't do nothing with all the power of the British government behind her, could not stop the advance of time. Why do we not believe that God is eternal? I grew up, see, as for me, maybe because I come from humble circumstances, maybe it's easier for me to believe. So I wasn't surrounded by power and glory and belief in the fact that I have all the power. I didn't grow up with family like that. There were humble folks who planted coffee, y'all, and pimento. That's what they planted, right? They barely could scrape together a living to send my parents and my mother to school, much less when the grandkids came along. So we come from humble situation. I come from humble situation. Maybe that's why it's easier for me to believe that God is eternal. But check this out. I want you to think about it like this. If my grandparents grew up telling me about God and they're no longer on the earth, doesn't it sound like God predated their existence to you? My grandmother used to tell me that she grew up hearing and being told that God's presence was imminent. Amen. My grandmother, if she were to live today, she would be 100. God bless her. I have a great aunt in England right now who is perhaps traveling to be with the Lord. She will be 93. She was 93 on her last birthday, which was a few weeks ago. She, having grown up, she raised up her children to believe in God. I am one of them because when I was born, my mom lived with her. But her time is limited. If they believe, that generation before us believed, what is it that we find so hard to believe? I just want to ask you that question. It's something for us to reason. Look what the scripture says here, that after Paul was in the custody of the Roman soldier, he was part of the establishment and got converted and believed in Christ. And now he's reasoning with the same brethren whom he used to socialize with. I think that most of us do not ever convert or publicly express our belief because we're afraid of what? Criticism and cynicism from our friends, our neighbors, and the people we socialize with. If you were to stand up and say, oh, I believe in God, then people would say, for real? Are you for real right now? Why do you believe in God? Because some bad things happen to people. Some bad things happen to me. That does not negate the fact that God is real. If you really read the Bible, you will realize and find out that some of the things that happen to us as a result of what? Of our own indecision and our own indiscipline. A lot of things happen to us because we did not believe God. We did not follow through on what God said. Nobody did. That's why the Bible is an example. The Bible is it's the infallible word of God. I know they like to expound on that, but here's the truth. The Bible is the example of what some people did, and when they didn't do what God said, bad things happened. It's like God is a parent. Doesn't it sound like it? Let me tell you about me. So it was me, right? I was planning to get married, and my mom said, I don't have a good feeling about this man. I don't believe you should marry this man. This is not the person whom you should marry. What did I do? Did I listen to her? No. I chose to do what I wanted to do. What that decision cost me the next 20 years of my life. It took almost 20 years to extricate myself from under the oppressiveness that man was. He was physically and emotionally abusive. If I had listened to my mother, would that have happened to me? No. But what did I choose to do? Not listen. Well, it's the same way we are with God. That's what the Bible is about. It's a book of examples of people for us to follow. Forget about the way that the previous generation taught it. They were expounding on it. God bless them. They were trying to get us to not make the same mistakes that they made and the people before them made. So maybe their delivery was not in keeping with how we like things today. Today we can't say no to people, and we can't tell them this is not for you because it makes people feel bad and everybody gets in their feelings and so on. But listen to me very carefully. I raised two daughters. There was never a time when telling them what was wrong and then going back and rub their faces was ever going to make it all right. Nah. It was wrong because this is why it's wrong. And that is it. You know what my children tell me today? They're adults. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you told me what was wrong. I'm glad you told me not to do this because listening to you, my life is better for it. Do you see what I'm saying? That's how God wants us to be. Believe. So the Bible is encouraging even me right now that, Harriet, you're going to tell this. Some are going to hear and accept it, and some are not. It's up to you. But I say to you, in the preponderance of evidence that exists, would you still not believe? I find that having read about the U.S. Constitution, I study it, I read it, I found that the founding fathers were convinced about what they were doing, the founding framers. My daughter likes to remind me that there were founding mothers as well. Yes, there were women who supported those men. They had wives and mothers and mistresses and girlfriends, and they had daughters and nieces whose opinion they might have listened to. Let's be clear. These men were married, so they lived with women whose opinion they heard. When they go to bed at night, they ask their wife, well, I'm going to do so-and-so tomorrow, and she's going to say, no, I think you should talk to George better, or I think you and George should think about this. We all know that that's how marriage is. That's how it is. So the founding framers, my point is that the founding framers were so convinced that they had to do this, they say, for the age to come. Look at what they said. Go read it for yourself. Read about Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and all the people who wrote, the founding framers. They said, we have to do this for the age to come. For the age to come. They knew that you and I would exist 250 years later. We can sit back and say, wow, somebody actually thought about that. Here is where they got the idea from. Right here, the Holy Scriptures. Look at that. And we still choose not to believe. So I want to challenge you this week. I want to ask you this question. Here is your moment of decision. If something were to happen to you this week, what would you say? And let me tell you why I say that. My concern is that as I look around, so many people are dying faster than I have ever seen. Young people are getting diseases that used to just happen until we were older. Young people just dropping dead. I don't know if it's the weed they're smoking, that they put stuff on the weed that's giving people heart attacks. The healthcare system is a shambles, so nobody can afford to go to the doctor to just go get a checkup to see, I think I heard my heart go funny, I probably need to go check it out. Whatever the reasons are, I'm going to challenge you this week in everything. Do you believe? Why is it that some believe and some do not? You might even be saying, that girl I was watching on TV, that woman, why does she believe? What makes her so convinced? The Bible, let me tell you what the Bible did for me. Years and years ago, I told you the story how I married a man my mother told me not to marry. And in that decision that resulted in the next 20 years of my life being complex and complicated, when I needed to extricate myself from that marriage, you're not going to believe. You know what used to happen to me? Every evening on my way home, the last 3 years of that marriage, I had to call a prayer center. There were three of them that I called. Oral Roberts Ministries and TBN. There was another one. I can't remember which one. I had to call them so that they could pray for me just to get home and pray that he wouldn't hit me that night. They would pray so much. One night, my ex-husband, who was a heathen, if ever there was one, my ex-husband told me that before I got home, he said like a cloud came in the room. And at first he thought he was in the family room, something was wrong. He thought, you know, we have the skylights. He thought it was a skylight. So he went in the living room. And he said he went in the living room and there was a cloud like a smoke. And in I walked home from work through the garage. And when I walked in, he said, I want to hit you, but I can't see you. And he said, I can't see you because there's just smoke in the house. Ladies and gentlemen, there was no smoke in the house. The house was not on fire. There was no smoke from the stove. There was no smoke nowhere. What happened? Someone prayed me into glory. And that night, my ex-husband could not touch me. He could not hit me. Why? I believed, and therefore I was saved. I'm saying to you today, I don't know what's going to happen to you this week. I can't tell you what is going to happen, but I'm going to challenge you to believe in God so that you might be saved. I'm going to challenge you to believe in salvation by Jesus Christ so that you might be saved. So why don't I just pray with you right now and invite you in and say, Lord, forgive me of my unbelief. Forgive me of my sin. I accept Jesus Christ. I believe, and therefore I believe I'm saved. And I pray that the salvation of God overtakes you this week, that the salvation of God comes and wraps himself around you so that you might believe, as Paul did when he had his conversion experience, as Paul did, and as the people who, even though they saw all those, don't be like them, all the people who saw the examples of what Paul did and still didn't believe, don't be like them. But this week, as you go out, may God wrap himself around you and shroud you in protection, just like he did me all those years ago, 22 years ago now, when the Holy Spirit would come into the room and my ex-husband could not see me. And he's like, I want to hit you, but I can't see you. May everything that would come against you this week that would try to hit you, can't see you because of the glory of God that is present upon your life. In Jesus' name, be blessed, everybody.